Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to talk to you today about hearers and doers. A hearer of the word observes. A doer of the word participates. Now think about it in 1 Samuel 17. Thousands heard Goliath hurl malicious verbal insults at the frightened Israelites. But only David did something about it. You see, observation can stay distant. Participation gets up close and personal. You can't stay on the mountain and get something done. You have to get down in the valley where the threat can be turned into a triumph. Grabbing rocks from a brook, loading your shepherd's bag with ammunition for your slingshot, and confidently marching toward the enemy is what a doer does. But a hearer simply reports. There were many that day who could initially inform the slinger with more details of what had been heard about the giant, about the reward for killing the giant, and about the king's daughter. They could quote everything verbatim, but they weren't willing to do anything about it. You see, religionists are collectors of things heard, but revivalists are collectors of defeated giants, their swords and their heads, if you will. Hey, did you hear? That's often the verbiage of those who journal someone else's actions. They can analyze it. They can articulate what they did better than the one who actually did it. They can criticize it with words, but they can't compare their own experiences of the thing scrutinized. And of course, think about in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus healed the paralytic, and the Bible says around verse number 17 that the doctors of the law were sitting there, and it mentioned how the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But there were some too busy inspecting the minister to expect a miracle. They were too busy scrutinizing the words that Jesus was saying, trying to catch him in some conspiratorial net, trying to discredit him in the eyes of the people so that their threatened positions could be protected. And yet, God would have touched them. He would have strengthened them. But they were too busy analyzing to ever exercise their faith. Oh, my friend, don't be one of those that sits around in a huddle of cynicism, sarcastically mentioning things you used to believe in. Is it because you've become prayerless? Is it because you've become careless? Is it because you've been disappointed in some stage of your life? Turn back around, bend a knee again, find a place of prayer again, put some fire back on that altar, and remember that His power is always present to heal. Don't just sit back and inspect what somebody else is doing. You get involved. Think about it in John chapter 2, when Jesus, after he has been baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, and the dove has descended, and the glorious, thunderous announcement of, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." One of his very first acts was to go to Cana of Galilee to a wedding with his disciples. And in that wedding, his mother would initiate action from her son because they were out of wine. And the standing servants nearby, they took water pots of stone, six of them, about 20 gallons apiece, and they filled it up with water. And they were standing there when they watched Jesus turn that water into wine, the wine that would amaze the governor of the feast. Oh, my friend, when you're a servant of the Lord, when you're involved in filling up the water pots, if you will, when you're involved in taking action, then you get to see what the Lord is doing. You get to participate in the supernatural. The Bible said he made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. So Israel only got to see the result of what was taking place. Moses, he was in on the planning process. He was behind closed doors, if you will. He was in the secret cloud covering, mountain shrouding, glory-filled atmosphere where God's word was speaking. Oh, is there anywhere else to be when you're talking about a fiery relationship with God, when you're talking about a passion for the things of God? You don't just sit back and criticize what somebody else is doing, but you get involved. You have spiritual development. You have fruit that grows on the trees of your efforts in evangelism. You see, my friend, there are going to be days when you're going to feel setbacks and you're going to feel like you're anything but a conqueror and that you can't even seem to move forward. But when forward thinking is hindered by past sinking, stop by the fountain of grace and do some heavy drinking, if you will. Get filled with the Spirit again. Then look at the files of God's past deliverances in your life to see that He never fails. Then follow the plan of God outlined for your life sometime in the past before the crossroads of temptations and tempests veered you off course. Proverbs 24:16 said, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." You see, the falling here is not into moral deficiency or sinful behavior. It really deals with being attacked by malicious foes, thieving forces, and unlawful souls. Though God permits the hand of violence sometimes to spoil His tent, temptations to assail His mind, and afflictions to press down His body, He constantly emerges, and every time He passes through the furnace, He comes out brighter and more refined. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." So you see here that the emotion with which we face certain things in life changes when we realize who is our salvation. It changes from sadness to celebration, from feeling inadequately lost to comfortably assured that everything is going to be all right. But a better emotion still needs action. You have to draw. No one can draw for you. There is refreshing to be found in the wells of salvation, but you have to do something about it. How often do we miss the blessings of the Lord because we never move from waiting to action? In fact, to a degree, the joy in Isaiah 12 is based on the drawing. Knowing the good things gained from the wells of salvation is what brings joy. The emotion is often changed by drawing in expectation. Then after that first experience, when you go back to the well, you know what to expect. The expectation is joyful because the first experience was joyful. You didn't have a clear understanding of what to expect the first time. But after the first taste of His grace, after the first refreshing of His presence, after the first encounter of His delivering power, you now know when you come into His presence, there is peace and calmness for whatever you are facing. You feel down about a certain development in life. So you go back to church knowing that the presence of God and through the anointed preaching of the Word, you're going to be encouraged, uplifted, and empowered. You draw with joy because it's connected to one experience of faith building after another. And it all goes back to the first time you experienced joy unspeakable and full of glory, the power of the Holy Ghost. When you came to God as a sinner, you didn't know necessarily what to expect. Judgment, guilt, indictment, shame, humiliation. But mercy worked. Love reached. You responded in repentance to the call of God. And in a Pentecostal altar, you drew from the wells of salvation for the first time. And it was incredible, incomparable. There was nothing in the world to compare to the experience of the Holy Ghost. It was beyond this world. But now you know. And when you go back to that well to draw again, you know it's with joy, because you know what you're going to obtain from the presence of the Lord and the power of God. There's a scripture that says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In fact, this is how the book of Judges ends. They did something. It wasn't right, Maybe because it wasn't based on hearing the right thing. You see, what we hear does affect what we do. Righteous actions don't just happen accidentally. It must be inspired by righteous words. Some people hear something and act on it. They want to be a part of something bigger than life. They want to be involved. They don't want to just stand around and watch. They don't want to just be a spectator. They want to be a participant. They want to do something. Some people hear and act out. They rebel. They revel in iniquity. They get their 30 pieces of silver and hang out with the wrong crowd. They collect their inheritances and spend themselves into sinful delirium. They brag about blasphemies. They boast about binges. And then there are some people who hear and act above it. They hear negative things, but they won't be a party to them. They hear bad reports, but they refuse to repeat them. They hear slander and libel, yet they keep themselves stainless and free from the malicious gossip network. They simply decline to disclose the disgraceful. And then there are some people who hear and act in spite of it. These are the Davids that fight Goliath, even when they're told it's impossible. These are the Jacobs that keep wrestling even when the searing pain says quit. These are the Abrahams that keep searching even when the altar-dotted desert hasn't produced many earthly clues. These are the Josephs that hold on to fleeting faith even when pit setbacks and prison sentences threaten to kill the dream. Oh, my friend, despite what's taken place and every dilemma that's come against you and every situation that's cropped up against you like weeds of darkness and spirits of defeat that would tell you don't even try again. Remember, some people hear and act in spite of what they've heard, in spite of what they've seen, because their feet are founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. They're reminded of what Jesus said in the early days of his ministry, when he said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a man that digs deep, and he sets his foundation upon a rock." That immovable, stationary, powerful granite foundation that when the floods rise and beat vehemently against that house, it cannot shake it. It cannot move it. It stands because it's on the Word of God. But he said, there are those that hear these sayings of mine and they do them not. They're like a man that builds his house upon the sand, so that when the floods come and the streams begin to beat vehemently against the foundation of that house, it can't stand. It's quickly moved because there's nothing stable about it. It has no strength in it. And so when stress comes, my friend, and you don't have any strength, strength that is word founded, strength that is biblically based, strength that is scripturally proven, it's not going to stand. It doesn't matter how prosperous it may seem in this temporary world. It doesn't matter how persuasive the speech may be that's been given to you to try to convince you to do something that is temporarily satisfying. It's a quicksand moment that's going to go down fast. But regardless of what you've heard in the world and regardless of what you've seen by those who can be disappointing, when you do what you do based on the Word of God, you're going to rise up, you're going to find strength, and you're going to come to a place of accomplishment and achievement. And here's the deal. If you heard God speak in favor of you yesterday, why are you listening to the negative feedback of those who don't like you today? Timeless truths should not be diminished by silly sarcasm. You're going to have people say negative things about you. You're going to have false accusations come against you. That's why there's words like condemnation. The enemy wants nothing more than to sentence you to pass shame. Shame that's already been covered by the blood. Shame that's already been conquered by the name of Jesus. But in a moment of weakness, you may go back to some of those old reports. You may start to sink again in the quicksand of cynicism. But my friend, if God said it, believe his report. If God did it, believe his manifestations. If God stands with you, stop worrying about those who have forsaken you. If God walks with you, don't worry about being tripped up by temptation and lies. If God has corrected a misalignment in your life, Don't be distracted by the disharmonious voices who keep pointing out your mistakes. If God has delivered you from the pits of shame, don't revisit them within a few days to be drugged down again. God has spoken, and that's more powerful than temporary spite. God has spoken, and that's more influential than demonic interferences. God has spoken, and that's more focused than 1,000 lies aimed at throwing you off your path. God has spoken, and that's more determined than an enemy walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God has spoken, and that's more destiny aimed than the fiery darts launched from Satan's bows of condemnation and shame. God has spoken, and that's more meaningful than twisted definitions reworded to fit adjusting morals of a declining generation. For God has spoken, and it's more lasting than tantalizing moments of self-gratification, for his word endures forever. God has spoken, and that's more encouraging in the darkness than all the pop psychology tricks that ignore Scripture. Oh, my friend, there's a current of conviction that flows deep within you, and when the conscience stream of the world flows one way, you are pulled toward the truth. This is because you value God's word above the lies of cheap, sin-permitting grace, because you love truth more than the feel-good dialogue of perversion-friendly doctrines of this modern age and even the modern church, because you want to do what is right, not just pay lip service that satisfies the religious motion of dead rituals and lifeless propaganda. You live truth, not with falsely stated perfection, but with human frailty of trust in God that knows you can't make it one day without his word. You leave trails because you know they are headed in the wrong direction, even though they may appear to be like the garden of the Lord. You know that they lead to Sodom and Gomorrah endings. You long for something more than the scintillating sights of men's inventions, and so with the spirit of Abraham in your spiritual veins, you look for a city whose builder and maker is God. You learn from every step, stump, stress, and stumble of your journey, knowing that all things work together for the good of them who are the called according to his purpose. You lead others, not by the brash comments of self-achievements or the boasting of unmatched intelligence or gifting, but by the road of humility, where you position many signposts of endurance, perseverance, hope, forgiveness, and faithfulness. And so, my friend, when things are confusing and unsettling around you, when everything around you is sinking, look for the one on solid ground and grab hold of that hand. Examples of truth don't practice one thing in private while verbally persuading others of some other nature in public. Examples of truth stand when others walk away from convicting principles. Examples of truth stay when storms of temptation threaten to blow violently against everything that you hold to be dear. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In Genesis 24, the servant of Abraham, Eliezer, positioned himself by a well to test a maiden of the Lord, to see if she found God's approval by passing a bride test, by going the extra mile to offer his camels something to drink after he'd asked her for a drink. Eliezer found Rebekah because he was standing by the well. When Rebekah eventually walked to the well with the pitcher on her head, the servant ran to meet her and asked for a drink from the well. She gladly agreed and then filled in the blank as Isaac's wife material when she offered to give his camels something to drink as well. And over the course of the next few days, Rebekah would leave her father's house and join Isaac in predestined matrimony. Isaac's bride was found at a well where a servant stood. The bride of Christ can be found at the same place. Stand at the well of living water and you'll find the church. If the church doesn't have living water, then it's probably standing in the wrong place. Maybe it's positioned for worldly wealth, so it stands with beggarly hands at the gates of the wicked, hoping that tolerance equates to treasure. Maybe it is positioned for worldly influence, so it stands at the bridge of secular rulers and hopes to be invited into the courts of prestige and popularity. Maybe it's positioned for simple pleasures of sin for a season, so it stands in other religious temples, permissive of alternate lifestyles and decaying doctrines. Think about it, my friend. Achan stood in the wrong place with Joshua and all of Israel because he wanted spoils in Jericho that was not his to take. Judas stood in the wrong place with conspiracy-minded Pharisees because he wanted to expand his riches and influence. Balaam stood in the wrong place with God because he kept changing mountaintops of prophecy till he finally came to Baal Peor, where he taught the Midianites how to intermingle with God's people and bring judgment. Oh, my friend, don't stand in the wrong place where you'll learn to do the wrong thing. In fact, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." If you find yourself standing and staring in the wrong place, then you'll end up partaking of things that are not full of promise. Oh, they may be full of permission. They might be full of prosperity and a few pleasures for a while, but in the end, it'll only bring regret to the places in your life where you could have had the fruits of God's grace. So make a stand today. Do what's right. Don't just be a hearer of the word only. Be a doer of the word. Activate the glorious principles of God in your life. Activate the word of God that'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. It'll help you see the pitfalls ahead. It'll help you see the snares of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You'll have a way where there is no way, and you'll always have the illumination of the love of God in your life, no matter how much hatred there is around you, no matter how many fiery darts of accusation are launched against you. You'll have a shield of faith that you can raise to block those things out of your life, and your heart will be covered with the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that the most important thing in your life is to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, not just that which takes a lease on life to settle down in any old place and live just any old way, but to live the way according to God. See, that's why it's called a path of righteousness for His name's sake. What we do brings honor to His name. I don't want to do anything to bring a reproach to His name or to discredit the power of His name or the integrity of His name. That's why, my friend, when you make a mistake, don't make an excuse for it. Make an adjustment. Have a time of repentance. Find a place in an altar and pray again. Oh, there's all of the grace of God and the angels of heaven to come to your aid and to work for you. That's why we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that when we do confess, He's able to forgive us. He's able to set us free. He's able to help us walk in the paths of liberty rather than to live shamefully in the shadows of what this world approves of and the things that would take us to death and destruction. Oh, don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Activate the blessings of God in your life today by taking a stand of obedience to the things that God has said, because His word is forever settled in heaven. And the kingdoms of this world are going to fade and fall away. But the word of our God, when all the grass is withered and the flowers have faded, oh, it will stand forever. So plant your feet and do what's right today. In Jesus' name. We've already heard a word from the Lord. Now something's moving, there's no time to wait till everyone gets getting late. Don't stop until this whole world has heard. Come on, spread the word. I feel something moving, I feel it in the air. I just can't explain it, it's happening everywhere. Signs and wonders greater than we've ever seen before. Heaven sends a message.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.